Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode has been brought to you by Sake Man, a group of sake superheroes bringing sake to the world. This week on Meat and Three, we get ready for Super Tuesday by looking at how food shapes elections both at home and abroad.
People know that you don't order a Philly cheesesteak with Swiss cheese as John Kerry did back in the 2004 cycle.
A young group of friends decided that they would put a website which told voters which polling booths had sausages.
Prime Minister David Cameron was pictured about a week after this incident eating a hot dog in a bun with a knife and fork because he was so afraid.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, I'm Jimmy Carbone. I'm the host here, and we have a special show, Up With Upstate. Not too long ago, I was talking with Kenny Landon from Crossroads, and he said, Jimmy, it's time to do our annual show about Crossroads. And he didn't have anybody to invite, so he said, let's just invite a bunch of upstate breweries. And it turns out that we've got a room full of representatives from five breweries in the room. So we're just going to go around and introduce everybody and start a little conversation. So let's start with some of the old timers.
Yes, Ray Manzarek from The Doors.
Come on. That's a joke that we don't get.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It's Dietrich Gehring from Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery.
And you guys, what town are you guys in? Because this is about towns and
we're
counties.
We're in lovely Altamont, New York, nestled under the Helderberg Mountains.
Wow. So ultimately, this show is about the diversity of all these very interesting small breweries in different parts of New York State. And it's nice to hear about the counties, too, because I'm still learning.
Stuart Morris, Indian Ladder.
Alex Gill, Indian Ladder Farm Cider Brewery.
So you guys have been on the show a lot. We went up to 2016. We did an on the road series with you guys.
That's right, Jimmy. You were out in the hop yard.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about hops with you guys, about your plans for expansion and some other things. Anything on the top of your list that you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I think, you know, the hop yard is probably, you know, the main thing at this point. I mean, we are also putting in some heritage apples, but we're expanding the hop yard this year and putting in some varieties that haven't been available on the East Coast.
That's great. Well, we're going to talk more about that. And let's go around the room. Everyone in the room, Aaron, you're an industry guy, so you're in the show. Let's go.
Yeah. My name is Aaron Krawczyk, an industry manager restaurant in Little Italy, Grotta Azzurra restaurant.
And you put in the craft beer program there.
Yeah, we have a nice craft beer program for people that want to come down to Little Italy for Italian-American food and craft beer.
Great. Okay, let's keep going.
Ryan Demler, Bound by Fate Brewing Company in Schuylerville, New York.
So, Ryan, you also work at another brewery in New York
Yeah,
State.
So I also manage brewing operations at Community Beer Works in Buffalo, New York, which makes me the old-timer now, but also the new guy. It's really kind of an exciting place to be.
All right, let's keep going.
I'm Adam Krawczyk from Crossroads Brewing Company at the beginning of the Hudson Valley, so in the Catskill region, and I'm old now.
But how do you describe it, Adam? Because you work with Kenny Landon almost since day one. Okay. You guys opened the brew pub in Athens, New York, which is what, Greene County?
Yes, and we're in Greene County. To describe me and Kenny Landon in the same room?
Or how about describing where you are?
That's an easier thing to describe. we're kind of at the base of if most of the people down here know where Hunter Mountain is, or any of their favorite hiking spots up in the Catskill region, we're right in the village of Catskill. So we're kind of right in that beginning of the outside fun camping environment and just south of Albany.
Great. Great. And keep going around the room.
Patrick Sylvester, also from Crossroads Brewery, and I run the production facility out of Catskill.
So, Patrick, you're the next step. So let's go Crossroads. Adam, we have all the names in the room. I'm trying to remember everybody. Yeah. Adam, so you were the brewing at the brew pub, the original Crossroads Brew Pub.
Yes, so I brewed under Hutch Kugman, who most people know. The Cougar Mines.
The Cougar Mines.
And then Crossroads had expanded, and we opened up our second facility, and that's when we brought on Patrick.
And then Patrick, so tell us a little bit about you, your background, because you've worked in other breweries.
Yeah, so I started in 2012 at Keegan Ales. I brewed with Gio Wenzel, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with. So I've been doing it for a little while, became head brewer at Keegan Ales in 2014 and kind of ran that train till about 2019. And then actually helped open up a craft beer bar and cheese shop for a quick minute there. And then actually joined the Crossroads team once they needed to fill a head brewer spot at the production facility. So since August, I've been at Crossroads now.
Great. And we're going to catch up with all these little topics here. And then my good buddy who I first met years ago selling beer and coffee in New York City, he's got a new brewery.
That's right, Jimmy. This is Dana Ball, Upward Brewing, up in Livingston Manor. I've known you for a long time, right?
Well, congratulations. I'm glad that you're opened up.
Thanks, man. I've known you since Muggsy's Chow Chow.
Way back. So there's a lot of people in this room, so we're going to try to cut to the chase. First, let's start with the beer. So, Ryan, you're here as Bound by Fate Brewing, but you also work at Community Beer Works in Buffalo.
Correct. So the first beer that we had, well, nice plug for Community Beer Works. The cans are beautiful, and they will be available in New York again sometime very soon. But so the first beer we had is that IPA. It's our Session IPA, 4.9%, crushing it. And it's we got a little award at GABF this year, so that was kind of cool.
It's great, man! Congratulations!
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And the next beer, the second beer is this a Indian Ladder Farm?
It's a collaboration beer, actually, Jimmy, that we've done for the last 3 years with our friends at Interboro, and it is a state beer. It's all from our brewery, and this is the remix. Scott was instrumental on helping Jesse get this beer going.
Great. Well, you know, you guys have been doing this a long time, so tell me about the hop yard and what's going on. You're doing some experimental hops. You've got feral hops growing.
Yeah, currently we have 14 varieties of hops in the yard. We've been working on some experimental and feral hops. We've been trying to find a New York State proprietary hop, which we feel that we've done over the last 8 years, and we will be trademarking that this year, and it's going to be called the Helderberg hop, tentatively.
All about the Helderbergs.
All about the Helderbergs, and it has some nice pineapple notes, and we have a single varietal beer coming out, an IPA called Meadowdale Ale Society that will be available soon.
Great. So who wants to answer this question? Are there some freedoms that, you know, you get operating outside of the city, like in more of a country environment as a brewery? Or are there things that you have that city breweries don't get to have?
Space.
Yeah, space.
A lot of space.
We get to close early.
Yeah, we get to close early. We don't have to stay open until 4 in the morning.
So in Schuylerville, there are, I think, 4 other licensed establishments in town. So after 9 o'clock, we are the only people that serve alcohol, which is really nice for the tap room. The town doesn't have any industry. So I would say one thing that we did have to deal with that maybe city folks don't necessarily have to deal with is the Rural Water Authority, which all this is new to them. And it kind of put a little bit of a weight on what we were doing when we started opening a production there, which wasn't the most exciting thing, but you know, payoff's pretty good so far.
Adam, anything about where you are? Local
for us
flavor
for local flavor and water. No, we've actually never had to worry about anything like that on our end. Actually, the town of Athens was happy when we started putting organic material down there to actually help their water treatment area where they needed it to help break down some of the yeast qualities and stuff like that. So for both of our locations, I know it hasn't been an issue.
Great. And Dana, just give us a quick shout out, because tell us about Upward Brewing. I've been waiting for you guys to open for a while and excited to hear more about it.
Yeah. We stumbled on, me and my partner stumbled on a spring house that used to supply the whole town with water at one time, and we were the town was very happy that that we could actually utilize that, and we get it's amazing water, and we get to brew with that, and we have a mountain, 120 acres that kind of creates a lifestyle. That's what we were looking for, to take beer to another level and have people come and appreciate what the Catskills really has to offer, which is nature. That we're out there pretty rural, and it allows people to bring their dogs and go for hikes and spend the night in a tent. We have plans for three-season cabins so they could spend the weekend, and we have a restaurant and a beautiful space. So we had the luxury of building a really nice place on the bottom of a mountain.
Wow, man, that's great. So, Patrick, coming over from Keegan Ales, I'm trying to jump around with all you guys, but sure. Keegan Ales to Crossroads, a new brewery. What were the challenges? Do you feel like you had to whip that brewery into shape?
Yeah, it was. That's a really good question.
Hold your time.
No, it was definitely it was an interesting experience because It wasn't even much of like an interview process. It was more of just like, hey, we kind of sat in a room, we're like, are we both cool to do this, right? I've known Kenny for a long time, I knew Adam for a long time, and they both knew Tommy for a long time. So they had to make sure that I was leaving on good terms, they had to make sure that I was coming on good terms, and that we were able to kind of steer this ship in the right direction that we both wanted to agree on, which I think in the first couple of months that I've been there, I think we're all kind of jumping the bandwagon. We're picking up a little bit of a distribution, which is a little bit where my forte is in terms of kind of being a good contact between the brewery and sales and kind of understanding that whole field, because that's what I did a lot at Keegan's. Another thing to point out is that it's me, myself, Adam, and then we also have another brewer, Chris. So we got three brewers in a very small, confined space trying to, butt heads together, which and sometimes is like a blessing, right? Because you got three different people with a ton of different knowledge, ton of different experiences, ton of different styles. But at the same time, you got three different brewers with ton of different styles and ton of different ways about doing things. So it's been very much a collaborative kind of putting our heads together and talking things over, which a lot of our days are, in terms of making sure that we're doing practices the best way and things like that. So it was definitely weird, definitely close to home, but that's kind of where I wanted to stay and kind of help grow a brand that I knew. Crossroads is an old school brand. I've been drinking Outrage since it came out in 2010, and just want to help grow it, and kind of help this company kind of move forward, and stay relevant in this day and age, which is nuts.
Yeah. So Jimmy, it's, what's interesting is we were talking about water there for a couple minutes, and I always end up being the hop guy, but water is one of the sort of unsexy things that we don't talk about in the brewing industry, and it is a huge ingredient. It's most of what beer is. Our well is at 76 feet. We have to have a full filtration system because we have a lot of iron in our water, and iron and hops don't mix at all, so we have to remove all that. And we're at a point now where Scott is creating a water recipe that is for, and by the way, Scott Veltman is our brewer. If I keep mentioning him, That's why. Handsome guy, yeah. For those of you in the know. Guy. Yeah.
The joke's still out.
But I think this is a whole, I think you could have a whole show on just water.
Oh, we could do many shows. Sorry.
We could do a lot of shows about water.
But yeah. Let's not.
Yeah, let's not.
But Ryan, you're like the liveliest guy in the room. You're moving around.
So I don't get to see
stacking
these
cans.
I don't get to see these folks a lot. We have a lot of fun. I've known everybody in the room. And Dana, we're new to this, but like you and I personally. But I've known Patty for 7 or 8 years. I've known Adam for
at least 5 years.
Six or six years.
Probably
so,
same.
I've been around like the industry for, it'll be 13 years in August. And I before Scott opened up Indian Ladder Farms Brewery, he worked for me. Before that, he was at Omegang. And then I've known Dieter before he started hoarding everything that they produced on the farm. I was able to buy some of his ops.
We let you have stuff now and then. If you're good,
you got to pay us.
So you're a good intro to this whole thing. You're kind of the... So, but you've been working in Buffalo all that time?
No, I've been in Buffalo for... 3.5 years. So before that, I ran the pump station in Albany. Before that, I was at a little production brewery just outside of Toronto. And then before that, I was at Old Saratoga. And then before that, I was bootlegging beer in college.
So Pump Station, that's where Scotty Veltman worked.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ryan was like our bad breakup that happened. we have a pretty small community up in the Hudson Valley of brewers that seem to all get along. And then one day he was just like, I'm going to Buffalo. And
peace, bitches.
We want him back, CBW. Right. Yeah. We want him back.
Bound by Fate's definitely bringing Ryan back around the Cavalry a lot more. And that's a nice, that's a beautiful thing.
It was like a big Bills fan kind of thing. And he's super pale to begin with, so
he had a long hair face.
I don't like the sun that much.
Can someone get Stuart to stop putting beer in my shoe?
Yeah, this is the upstate vibe. You guys are just kicking back. Alex, tell me about you. So you've been working at Indian Ladder Farm.
I've been there for about 3.5 years. I showed up there one day just like asking if I could clean kegs and like sweep the floor. Just I wanted to get into the industry.
And we immediately
Didn't even know what I was getting myself into.
In a bushel of apples.
Yeah. I'm just super interested in learning about, you know, obviously beer production, brewing beer. And they needed a guy to make cider. So that's my current, like, primary job right now is hard cider production. But I help Scott in the brewery all the time. I mash in and mash out for him and, you know, little things like that, all cellar beer and, you know, transfer keg beer, stuff like that. But
what would you say Scott does there?
He
stands around pretending.
He has a sweet playlist going in the brewery.
Since he's not here, we should just turn this into talk shit about Scott.
No, honestly, I consider myself extremely lucky to be working under Scott and learning from him. So it's in all seriousness,
and we love him. But let's go back to the water story. So. You have. Tell us again about your well.
Now I'm underwater.
About your well, and you have plans for expansion, and how does the water impact that?
Well, water is everything. I mean, we were making beers with the same water, every beer with the same water, and it didn't work. I mean, we ended up going out to the Master Brewers Conference with Pete Langdell from KCBC, and we were sort of blown away about what they had to deal with water out there. I mean, Stone Brewing Company was making IPA that tasted the same, and then all of a sudden they weren't getting water from the Colorado River anymore. They went to a desalinization plant, so all of a sudden their water profile completely changed, and that happened to a lot of breweries in San Diego. And that was sort of a real wake-up call for a lot of us, you know, that, well, water is this huge thing, and just even like tiny bits of you know, additives to it change the entire chemistry of the water that you're using and change the, especially the hop profile.
Yeah.
You guys, Crossroads, you want to talk about your water profile?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, your water source.
Don't reveal any secrets.
Anything you have to do.
Yeah, where does our water come from? What is it? A show can? No, we're not a show can down in Catskill. We're another reservoir.
Ours comes from the Alcor Reservoir.
Yeah, so we're pretty fortunate to have a pretty solid water profile, easy enough for us to work with in terms of a base. It's nothing like Saugerties, a high sulfuric or anything like that. But we do additives, you know, to kind of optimize. We do a little gypsum, a little calcium chloride and things like that. But I mean, it can be a total destroyer if you're you're shit out of luck if your water is crap. You know, I mean, you really got to put in some big systems in it. And even so, you know, when you talk about differences between upstate and the city and everything like that, like we all brew in small towns, right? Small towns go through water fluxes like crazy. You know, if there's a lot of runoff, if there's a lot of snow, if there's, you know, a flush that's going on. I mean, every now and then we get warnings that are like, crap, like we can't use the water, like the, you know, like water's got murky brown stuff in it, we got to dump it down the drain, you know. So it's tough to monitor. It's something that I think, as Dieter said, you don't expect to have to monitor it, right? You just kind of think that it's this thing that's like, oh, water is water, and it's
even 76 feet at our well, it changes seasons.
That's such an important depth, I guess.
76 feet?
Yeah, 76 feet, everybody.
I've seen it.
It's a 76-foot well.
It's to celebrate the birth year of our country.
76.
Thank you, Ryan. All right, Dana, tell us about the water that you guys use in Sullivan County.
Such a patriot.
It's amazing that our mountain, we're at 2,300 feet at the top, and we have a base camp series of beers that we don't add any mineralization or salts to our beer, and it's an IPA series. Whoa. But I brought the Ascension Pilsner here that we could all taste, and that's a perfect example of what mostly water is. A lot of our beers, we try not to put too much ingredients in them all. We keep them letting the water do its thing, and it keeps it alive, I think, and it's not muddled. And we're really, really proud of using that water as our canvas.
Let's step back. Ryan, what did you pour us before this one? The silver can.
So I'm going to let Patrick talk about this because this is the house lager from Athens or Catskill.
Yeah, send it my way.
Also Crossroads.
Crossroads, yeah. So this is one of our newest beers that we just came out with. We're super happy with it. It's quickly working its way into our flagship lineup, and it's kind of showing where I think where a lot of drinkers are going now. But we essentially created a house lager. It's just a standard Helles style lager. 5.2% alcohol on that, super simple, Cascade hops on it, but what it is, it's about bringing beer back to what it's meant to be, and that's drinkability. People question me of how many times how many beers do you have in a day, and it's with house lager, I can have 5 or 6, and you don't even think about it. Yeah, if I could, I would have 100 of them. And we're getting a lot of great feedback from bars and restaurants of just offering this, right? As where everybody is chasing the hops, we're kind of taking the low road of going for the lager and hoping for everybody to be able to have a craft beer, even if they don't want one, right?
Aaron, you're run a restaurant, craft beer buyer in the city. And your brothers of Adam, but what do you, if you're meeting a new brewery like Bound by Fate, what questions would you ask them before you buy the beer, or do you just taste it first?
Yeah, I do taste it first, but a lot of times I'm interested in just actually the hops that are being made in the beer. A lot of times beer is made with a lot of similar hops all the time, so I'm looking for a lot of different stuff, something that doesn't have Simcoe, Citra, Mosaic, Galaxy in it. I'm looking for something just a little bit different, only because a lot of times they do kind of
you
run.
You can make beer without Citra?
Yeah, I don't think you can, but I'm retailing this urban area in Manhattan, and it's really IPA driven. And it's definitely 8% and almost higher driven, and it is Citra. It's Mosaic. It's Simcoe. It's Galaxy. All the time. So a lot of times I'm just looking for something different just to showcase what people can really do, I think, sometimes with IPA, where it can be just different. Almost, and I come from an Italian restaurant to where we also have a lot of wine, so I kind of almost think as IPA as wine, but instead of the grapes, we do different hops.
Different hops. Thanks, Aaron. I'm going to switch back. Ryan, so, tell us about Bound by Fate Brewing.
So
just how you got started and what this group is, because you guys are a late addition, and
yeah,
I've been following you on Instagram.
Thank you,
Brewing Fate. But other than that, I don't really know much about you guys.
So it started out as
Schuylerville,
New York, which is the site of the Saratoga Battlefield, as many would recall from their grade school history classes, the turning point of the American Revolution.
See, there he goes. You guys got that cannonball.
And we got a cool 9-pound cannonball, which, another historical anecdote, there was only one 9-pound cannon in the Battle of Saratoga. Moving on. You can hold it at the bar if you order said beverage. But I've been making beer for a really long time. My oldest brother, who runs the production side, Brett, and also he runs our social media accounts, he was like a wine cellar for a really long time, and then when he moved out to the Bay Area, he got into homebrew stuff, and then he worked for More Beer, managing their warehouse for a really long time. And then my other brother, Evan, had worked as a distiller, and he was a taproom manager at Commonwealth down in Virginia Beach. And so everyone kind of moved back to the Northeast. And my sister-in-law was like, oh, you should open up a brewery. This is something that it seems like, everyone's been doing this, right? So why not just do this? And the town has been super receptive, and it's a beautiful little tap room. It's a working to make it a more efficient, very tiny brewery, but we've got a very tiny brewery. Like the rest of my family lives together on this strange little compound, and they've got the brewery there, and everyone lives there, and we slaughter calves on the solstice and everything like that. So, but
so what are some of your goals? Are you going to be a farm brewery or?
So yeah, we're a farm brewery. And it's funny, like,
kind of counter to what Aaron was saying, and for our experience in beer, is that kind of locally, people are just receptive to local, and for where we're at, it seems like a really good place to be. And so our tap lineup is, we have one IPA, a brown ale, a dark Mexican style lager, a stout, a cream ale, you know, like, and then we'll be rotating through some other stuff. But for sure, the driver, like, our number one selling beer is, of course, an IPA, but very close behind that is malt driven or kind of more beer flavored beers, because our market is still kind of soft and kind of new to that. And it's really nice for us. Like, we don't, you know, like, we're able to expose a lot of folks in a smaller part of the state to better beer.
So are any of you focus on using local ingredients in your beers?
I think we're all.
We all are.
Oh, yeah. We're, these guys over here.
No.
Yeah,
Jimmy, what we just poured you is called Rockin' Like Dockin', and this is an estate beer. This is a sour IPA, and the blueberries and the hops.
No sour,
and
it's a double IPA.
I'm sorry, it's a double IPA, fruited. A
lot of hop blends in there.
A fruited double IPA. I misspoke.
I'm not driving.
So we got, there's a Columbus and Calypso blend in there, which Calypso is our first year growing that, so that's a first year hop. Blended with Columbus. There's a New York 18 hop in there, which is a bunch of local hop growers actually come by the farm and... they'll have us throw their hops through the harvester, and whatever is kind of whatever they don't want or whatever they kind of can't handle, we'll make a like a blend out of it, and we'll call it New York 18 or New York 19. And then we have three C's in there, which is Columbus Chinook and Cascade.
Yeah,
or no, Centennial Columbus Cascade. Yeah, so and then there's Chinook in there also.
It's a lot of different hops in that.
Yep, and then farm grown raspberries.
Ryan, what were you saying?
Like, we were having a side conversation about how there's a lot of subtle stuff going on in this beer, and I was like, oh, this is like really fruity, like just right. Like, I don't know, it's bright, it's fresh.
Right, Scott is fresh. Usually like pretty not much of a complex brewer. He's like so super straightforward. Usually Scott is, so he likes to do one thing.
Yeah, I mean, he comes from two traditional breweries, Belgian brewery and then C.H. Evans, which is definitely, you know, not much room to, like, screw around and do some crazy stuff, but he does a great job with all the beers that, you know, come out of Indian Lighter Farms. So.
Well, let's put an idea at this. Since you guys are Indian Lighter Farms first, do you think that the iconic – will there be an iconic New York State beer style, one? And two, if so, would it include, like, a mix of fruit – in the beer, like we just had.
It's,
Alex?
I mean, in my opinion, that's definitely debatable. Fruit is definitely like a new thing. I don't think it... A lot of people think it like doesn't belong in beer. So
Ryan,
I kind of
Ryan
agree
and Adam are going to have to step outside in a minute.
Yeah, that's okay. Do you guys want to wrestle?
But Alex, let's finish this because I'm thinking...
I don't know.
This beer is inspiring me right now.
I think New York State Pale Ale or a New York State like American Lager would be as close to a New York State style beer as you would want. I mean, you guys could disagree.
Not going to happen.
No, I agree 100%, but I think it's going to be... I think when New York State comes up with their own beer, it's going to be a malt-forward beer because I think that's where the most of the, at least in my eyes, where the most of the effort is going towards in terms of grain production and things like that. At Keegan's, I did a lot of work on with the Cornell for the grain trials that they did, and I know Dieter was part of it too in terms of testing out different grains that they were growing and seeing what crops did well. But there's a lot of focus on that, almost more so than I feel like than the hops or even, you know, the fruit game. A lot of these farmers already have their bills being paid for. The grain, at least in, as far as I can tell, the grain is kind of filling in the winter crops and everything like that, and they'll be able to kind of harvest and get another product out that allows them to do that. And I know a lot of big breweries that are pushing hard to try it. I know Industrial Arts is trying really hard to come up with some New York beers. I know, a lot of the bigger guys, the other halves and things like that, they're all trying to work this stuff into it because it's important to us. I mean, we've been preached for the last 5, 6, 7 years that this is important, that New York State wants to support us on it, and I think that's where you're going to see this trend go. Is you're going to get the breweries to support it and the malt bills that are going to come from it. You know, someone's going to click, something's going to work well in this climate. And hopefully we can come out with something cool that's unique to us.
Dieter?
Well, I kind of worry a little bit because there is a lot of talk out there that we pretty much have, you know, hops, you know, backed into a corner. But from a grower's standpoint, we're seeing a lot of pressure out there from the hemp industry. So, for example, we're a local processor. So we pick 2 years ago, we picked for 12 different farms. This past year, we picked for 4. That has to do with part of it is that hops are extraordinarily hard to grow. It was a very wet season. But a lot of the small people are pulling their hops out and they're putting hemp in. And so I think that there needs to be more support for New York State hops because otherwise there's only going to be a few farms left.
Well, CBD is good for your knees.
So I think hops are too.
I mean, it's common sense.
Yeah. Let's go to Dana Ball. So yeah. Upward Brewing, to me, you've been in the industry a long time.
Yeah, I have.
Do you have any goals for working with local ingredients? Tell us about Upward Brewing.
Yeah, you know, I want to support as many farmers as I can. I want to. There is a New York State Hop Guild that comes around, and it just needs to be a little more accessible. The pricing, you know, there's a lot of give and take. What happens? But you know, I'm in the position. I'm only 4 months into this, and it's hard for me to. I don't have an expendable income, so I'm trying to shop for. I'm not getting the freshest hops, and it's hard for me to. I'm looking for the bottom dollar. So like a lot of these, you know, 4, 5, 6 barrels of hops in each, 6, you know, pounds per barrel is. It's not something that I can do at this moment, and nor maybe I will or
so,
not.
So at the brewery, what's on tap right now? Are you mostly selling craft beers in the tap room?
Yeah, so we have a Golden Ratio, which is a wheat beer made with some exotic hop, Wakatu from New Zealand, and that's a beautiful beer, but it's lightly hopped, and it's kind of our bridging beer for consumers. And then we have this Ascension Pilsner, which is a really great pilsner coming from the Catskill water, and we have a Pilsner Noir, a black pils, which plays on that. It's basically a black pilsner, which same pilsner yeast and the same hopping, but it has a little bit of a dark color, and it's a really quite a great beer. And then we have Opiate Sun, which is the story on that one is that there was a study done in the UK that the sun's effect to the UV rays to the person's brain has the same effect as opiates. And it's a resiny beer that it's kind of similar to like a Torpedo or something from Sierra. And then we have Breadwinner, which is a sessionable beer. And that it's got a little English malt background, but it's really dry. We try to dry all our beers out. But we're really excited to just basically play with the water and come up with whatever we can. And I think the customer, just like you were saying, is there going to be a beer for New York State? I feel like there may be 3 tiers for New York State. There's the city people that are brewing beer to play with what maybe the outside states want to drink, which is a lot of hazies and sours and barrel-aged stuff. And then there's like the middle tier of New York State, which has to bridge the customer gap from maybe weekenders coming from the city, which is probably where we fall in place. And then there's the upstate, which actually I believe Buffalo is a pretty strong community, right?
I would argue we're Western New York and Buffalo.
Yeah. And
also, I would argue that none of us are actually upstate, but
yeah, that's true. So I think it's really hard for the whole state to come together. I think it's a hard group to figure out. If the state's really big, it's like, you know, and I think there's a lot of different niches of the community, and the closer you get to the city, the more they chase the money, you know.
So wait, so Ryan and Patrick, so what is upstate? So where are you guys? Buffalo is not upstate.
No, Buffalo is Western New York. I would argue that Cincinnati, like capital, like easy. The West Coast of New York
is Buffalo even in the state? I'm not 100% sure.
You know what? Just if we're going
like,
by the pop
like it's
soda
in Canada,
thing,
right?
Easy. I can see Canada from my house.
I can't hear you with your Canadian accent.
Stop. So Indianapolis Farms, I would argue, is capital region, which I don't think is a stretch here. I want to say Upward and Catskill would be either like mid to upper Hudson Valley. And then
I don't know. I got a lot of friends from like Newcomb and stuff. So it's like upstate starts like, you know, where you don't get service and like where you kill bears
where
with your hands.
Where the fuck is Newcomb?
Where's yeah. Newcomb? Where is Newcomb? Is that's how you know you're upstate. All right. That's upstate.
And then
where
Dieter. Wait, we're going to Dieter.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, to your point there is that, you know, there probably won't be a single, you know, quote, New York State right. beer because we're such a diverse state and a huge population. And I think a lot of people in the rest of the country don't realize how, you know, much agriculture there is and how big the state actually is and really regionally how different it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. We all live in very, very unique and work in very, and even where we are, right? Like, so you guys are in a super rural area, but 20 minutes from you, you're downtown Albany, which is where everyone's tax dollars go to die.
Exactly.
And then another hour north, you're in this super rural area in Schuylerville. But 20 minutes over, you're in like a hip, like Saratoga is like totally separate from like where we are. And
it's
then,
a different world.
You know, you're, ooh, shit. And then, you know, you're down
did
in
the
Hudson Valley.
The mic?
I
yeah.
did.
And
I
then Patrick,
again.
Quick, because
so
we're taking a break in a minute.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like, you know, in terms of the
yeah,
state
what's up state?
Super different. It's also, think about the beer drinker that coincides with those areas, right? You know, it's difficult to forecast and plan beers that are around, you know, if you have city distribution, but also if your hometown is in, you know, upstate New York or the Capital District, that's a different animal. That's a different person that you're trying to appeal to. And those people aren't willing to sit online or wait for a hazy beer.
Great.
Like
we're
going to
take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Sake Man. What is Sake Man? Sake Man are judo athletes wearing Lucha Libre-inspired masks that act as sake heroes. This team of athletes moonlight as sake educational professionals spreading sake to the world. Learn more about their mission and their favorite sakes at saketotheworld.com. That's saketotheworld.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jimmy Carbone.
Hey, brother. Well, hey, if they're not in the room, don't talk about it, boys. So, and oh. this is a boys' show. Okay, so, Alex, I was trying to push you guys and say, is there a future like iconic New York State beer? Might it include fruit? And tell us about this beer that you made, because I think this could be the future of New York State beer.
Well, this is what's popular right now. This is what the people want. It's a, you know, it's a double IPA. Bunch of fruit in it. There's no lactose. There's never going to be lactose in Indian Ladder Farms beer.
Oh, there'll be lactose.
By accident.
Yeah.
You just threw him right. So, Alex,
okay.
So you like the beer.
Yeah. So, we didn't smash the beer with raspberry, so it's not, you know, this crazy, hazy, overwhelming IPA.
It's not a slushy.
It's just, it's well-balanced. It's got our Synergy malt in it, yeah. Primarily. There's a little bit of Pilsner malt, and then tons of blends of our hops, which it's all, I think there's like a couple grams in the Whirlpool, and then everything else is on.
So you're still unique. You guys at Indian Ladder Farm Cider and Brewery, you're still, you're trying to do estate beers. You're still focused on developing your hops, your grains, your hemps.
Yeah, estate beers is what we're about. I mean, we, you know, that's what we want to do. I mean, it's been kind of a struggle for us. I mean, we started the farm before we started the brewery. We put the hop yards in, and you know, we were early on in getting. I mean, when we started, there was no harvesting available. And, you know, it was like in Michigan, and we were looking at driving our hops to Michigan to have them processed. And, you know, by the time our yards were up, we're
pick parties.
Yes, we used
which
to.
Which you did.
We
actually
did.
Do.
We did. We used to do that. We used to have, for 3 years in a row, we had parties.
Ryan's
come
getting
out and
giggly.
Pick. And by the third year, nobody shows up. So, you know, we had to buy equipment.
All right. You guys, Adam, tell me more about Crossroads, man, because this show is built around Kenny Landon. He's not here, so let's talk about you.
That is
where
true.
Is Kenny?
No, it forget. I want to hear about you, Adam. Landon. How did you get started at Crossroads? What was your first job there? And
so my first job was very similar to most people who get in the industry. I came in as an intern. I just happened to be 32 at the time. So I came in and was offered zero money
and high wages, like to work hard. So I worked a day a week with Hutch for about a year. And then I got in there and I was his assistant brewer for 2 years before he left. But it was very much at that point, it was a brew pub scene. It wasn't what we're all kind of after now. We weren't in this whole distribution era. We weren't in this, how are we going to fit in with everybody else? We weren't battling the city. We weren't even battling the farm, if you want to consider Dieter and those guys, because that is also a new realm that I think we're all in. Between the farm brewers, the guys who brew commercially, and the city guys, we're all kind of split. So for me...
Explain that.
Well, you have a lot of people. We all advertise towards different people of some sense. You know, so some people, like Patrick was saying earlier, we make beers that are only going to the city, where even all of us in this room probably don't drink any of those beers, but we know that you guys drink them down here, if that's all your hazy stuff. And then you have lagers. And then you do have a lot of, like, homestead kind of people, like who Ryan's here supporting. Yeah. And those kind of guys who want to drink everything that's growing on the farm. So it was about where you're going to fit, where you're going to fit in, how you're going to do it, how you're going to make yourself relevant in that industry. And that's where I think I've always kind of been in. I've always been in that brew pub scene where that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to create. I wanted to create new beers and be part of the scene. You know, as corny as it sounds, I did. I wanted to hang out with Dieter and maybe not Gilly so much, but Ryan, you know.
And, who's Gilly?
And Pat.
Alex.
You know, like I wanted to, and what? Scott, and Scott was in there. You know,
he's sitting right here.
The first collaboration I did was with Ryan and Scott. They were the first guys to say, I'll make a beer with you, even though you're not that good of a brewer. That's what I wanted to do.
That's not true.
They didn't tell me that right away, but they let me make the beer at their place. So, you know, being part of the scene was a big part of it for me as well. That's what I wanted to do. And then I'm kind of here. You know, Ken kind of kept me here. You know, he kind of helped me stay here. And Crossroads did that. You know, we've always... I feel like we've always been there. We've always been in the middle. We've always been in the middle, and now we're trying to keep ourselves there, if not go farther, in the Capital District, at least. You know, and that's where we want
to
be.
Ryan, I got to go back to you. So this little brewery, Bound by Fate,
yeah.
You own it with your brothers?
Brothers and sister-in-law and my aunt and uncle.
Okay. And what the hell are you doing here, man?
What do you mean?
You work in Buffalo.
Why are you here?
All right, so
I'm trying to like mimic your guys.
A whole new genre.
Trying to mimic the guys.
They're not. It's like I hope they're not listening to this now. No, it was
You said 2 seconds.
All right, so I'll say this. The family opened up a brewery. They wanted me to help them out establishing it, and I figured that my role would be to shorten the curve. And then I've been doing this for a really long time, and kind of by industry standards. And there was a good role for me to play in terms of saying, like, all right, from an operational standpoint, this is what we can do. These are the people I can introduce you to. These are the contacts that I have. These are the purveyors that we should buy grain from or hops from. Or this, like, you know, my chemical guy, my gas guy. Like, don't worry about, like, there was a lot of stuff in particular because I worked out there for a while, out east in the Albany area. It was, or the Capital Region or Greater Capital Region. But it was my role effectively was to grease the wheels and make sure that when we hit the ground and we opened the brewery, we're not going to have this hiccup where everyone... I think the worst thing that someone can say about you in your grand opening is like, well, you know, like, let's give them a little bit of time. It's like, no, you want to execute as well as you possibly can from the beginning. And my role for this
was
to make...
They're being generous at that point, giving you time.
Yes. Yeah. If we open up and the beer is not good,
30 days.
It's 2 days. But you know, and we're at a point now where the market is super competitive, right? So when I started brewing beer in New York 12-13 years ago, there were 42 breweries. We have almost 500 breweries in New York. Like, there was nobody in New York City like 6 or 7 years ago, and there's like 100 breweries down in New York City. So
Dana, you know, you've been selling beer. I'm talking in the same way.
Yeah.
You've been selling beer for a long time.
That's right.
Remember 2011, I was up in Sullivan County. You were repping a distributor. What was that name of that distributor?
That was Gasco Meyer.
Because there's so many little parts of beer in New York State.
Yeah, they've been at it for a long time. They had Schaefer. That was one of their biggest brands in the 70s. And they've struggled. They I think every distributor struggles, especially early on, unless they have some lucky, wishful brand that comes their way. But they did a lot of the German things, and they had the Omegang portfolio, the Duvel Mortgott, and they had Sam Smith's. But as we all know, like some of those in the most recent years have all struggled, I took that on, but I was also selling to a rural community that they knew their German brands, but they didn't really understand the nice Belgian things and also the hoppy stuff. I started at Brooklyn Brewery back in the mid 90s, and I learned a lot from those guys, Tom Potter and Steve Hendy, and that was a great beginning for me. And you know, working with Garrett, Garrett taught me a lot how you should present beer and how you should talk about beer. And
so how do I work this guys into my tour of upstate? So I'm going to start in Livingston Manor, Sullivan County with you guys.
Yeah.
Upwards Brewing. And then where am I going to go next after that?
Well, I think you're going to Athens, right?
Right. You're definitely going to Athens.
Crossroads is definitely next on that list.
What bridge do you cross?
Good question, Ryan.
Is that the Mid-Hudson?
No, it's Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, the Rip Van Winkle.
You take the rip and you head down. Yeah. You take Whitestone, you head up on, and you go down.
That's Athens. And then what's next after that?
That would be Indian Ladder, if you're on your way north before you get to Bound by Faith.
And then you go to Schuylerville.
Yep.
And that's something.
Yeah, Schuylerville's up there. You go up to...
I got to keep asking questions to keep you guys busy, because you guys... all right, next one. Okay. Favorite brewer that no one knows about in New York State, not someone that you work with. Go around the room. Let's go.
Favorite brewer?
A brewer or brewery worker, someone in the beer industry, not New York City.
That nobody knows about? I'd have to say Alex Gill.
Are we talking...
Who's people? Alex Gill?
This guy. You can't plug this kid here. He's here. He's on the radio right now.
Okay. Good credit, though.
Stuart, name.
Nick at Gentle Giant.
Nick at Gentle Giant.
Beat me down right now.
I've had the barbecue at Gentle Giant. I have not had the beer.
He's solid.
Alex, somebody you'd want
to
work
Come
with.
Come back to me. I've...
Some other brewery you want to work at one day.
I'm going to stay at Indian Ladder for the rest of my life.
What do you know,
That's
Jimmy?
Smart move, Alex.
Patrick.
Good call.
A brewer that you look up to.
I'm playing favorites, but Kevin from Wesco.
Okay, Kevin, that's a good one.
I got really one.
All right, go back.
Okay, Alex.
I look up to Evan Watson a lot. He's definitely a disciplined brewer. He's a very smart guy. He's super cool to be around. I think he's
really good beer. He uses fruit in his beer sometimes. It makes him iconic.
Iconic
New York State beer kids.
I
watch out.
Just as a person, I want to be Evan Watson.
And he does a lot of like New York State beers. You know, he's all about it.
Adam, yours?
I'm working on it. You know,
you told me something earlier.
Since we're all sitting in the room, Vandra from Hydraulic Perth is a great brewer who doesn't get a lot of credit, and she could use the confidence.
And where is that? Where's Hydraulic Perth?
She is a
Buffalo New York.
Yeah, she's
everybody, put your hands together.
She's a second.
All right, Dana, you have one in mind?
Yeah, I got one. There's a good guy out there, Ben Brotman from Liquid State up in Ithaca. He's a great brewer, and he taught me a lot.
And Ryan, your list.
So I would now. I've been robbed.
He wanted to use Vandra.
I was going to do Vandra. But,
say it again. One more time.
Well, Vandra is dynamite. We hired her on. She works at an affiliate brewery for us, but she's already got a shout out. So I'm going to go with another guy from, or another brewer from Buffalo.
K-R-A-W.
But
maybe we need to do a Buffalo show.
Brian Kirschmeyer from Old First Ward Brewing makes some of the cleanest lagers, straightforward, like very good on German style beers, and it's also my favorite dive bar in Buffalo at Gene McCarthy's.
So we're kind of missing Ford. We're missing the whole New York beer scene, honestly, because we've been so focused on New York.
Jimmy, what's your favorite?
Andy from Swiftwater, the Swiftwater crew in Rochester makes some fantastic beers too.
I'm going to say Ethan Cox from Community Beer Works.
That guy hasn't brewed a beer since I started working there.
That's why I'm meeting you guys.
Ethan.
You know what's great about doing the show is that we get to try so many beers. and seeing some of you, like Indian Ladder, just in the last 4 or 5 years, how you guys have grown. We did a show with you about hemp, and you know, I'm still looking forward to all the next steps. You know, having a, I think a big part of what you're doing is that people actually come to your farm.
Yes.
And we're they spend money. Yes. So what have you added recently? Any new facilities or anything in the works?
We have a huge beer garden. We just put in a gigantic military kitchen, so we're now serving food in the beer garden, which has been a complete another operation. We've expanded the brewery into another building, and the cidery is expanded, so we're blowing out as much as we can.
Yeah. We're going to cut up soon. And then, just Adam, just tell us about food at Crossroads, because...
So at Crossroads, we were lucky enough to get a chef from the Culinary Institute of America. Chef Amanda does a great job. And I feel like that's really all you need to know. When she's from the culinary, it's legit. Show up. You'll be happy with what you get.
All right. Well, this is a challenging show with all the guys in the room. I think that this we're going to stay at Roberta's and have some pizza and keep the conversation going.
It's so hot in here, Jimmy.
Alex has my... What do you want to say to close us out?
Well, everybody, this has been Jimmy. This Jimmy Carbone. I can't even. It's so weird looking at you and doing an impression of you.
And then Ryan's like our special guest from Buffalo.
Yeah.
So close it out, bro. What's going on?
You know, I'm not going to even pretend to do any
that wasn't
sort of
a very good.
That was
a terrible impression.
Just end it, Ryan.
Thank you. And thank you. I'm really proud of you that you opened up Upward Brewing. So give us a shout out where it is. And
yeah, it's go up 17. You're about 100 miles north of New York City. It's a great weekend to have in Sullivan County. And
what's your tagline?
And it's, Go Hike Beer Mountain for
go
Ray
hike
Dieter,
beer
man.
Mountain.
Yeah.
All right. And then Dieter.
Our tagline?
Yeah.
What is our tagline?
What's the name of your brewery, anyways?
Drinking is an agricultural act.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No farms, no beer.
I have to tell you that this has been a special show for me. Thanks, everybody.
Yes, farms.
I'm not even going to say your names. We're just going to sign off. Thanks to producer Dylan Hoyer, intern Kevin Chang Barnum, engineer extraordinaire Matt Patterson.
Yeah, thanks for everybody in that room listening to our bum asses.
Jimmy Carbone, thanks for joining us on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, we'll catch you next time. Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.